Hello, everybody. Welcome back.
Hi. Hello.
How are
Hi.
you feeling today? Full house.
Fantastic.
Great. David is
Woo.
with us. Kyle, Tyler, and Lisa is trying her best to host again today. And we sent Keith off, and he's living the best life in the south of France at the moment. So, it's the youngins again, I guess.
Picture I've seen
Love it.
from people there looks very nice.
Yeah, it does.
Magnificent weather, what I've heard so
Yeah.
far. So, anyways, we are trying our best to keep the podcast rolling this week. And I thought we again jump in with two truths and a lie. And I gave my best to throw you off a little bit again. And we do an Amazon theme this week. And we will talk a little bit about it later, why we chose Amazon as a theme for the truth and a lie. Okay, speaking is not easy today, it seems. Anyways, let's jump in. So, A, Amazon originally launched Prime Day to celebrate its 20th anniversary. B, Meta and Netflix have a larger combined market cap than Amazon. Or C, AWS, Amazon Web Services, accounts for a majority of Amazon's operating profit. Let's start with Tyler. What do you think is the lie?
Well, I remember the first Prime Day. I think it was like 2012, right? Pretty sure I was in high school, maybe 2011. But I don't, was Amazon founded? Amazon was founded in 1990,
Yeah,
right around there,
91, and it
somewhere.
IPO'd.
Books.
I think IPO'd 98 or
So
something.
I'm gonna call that a truth. Meta and Netflix.
That one's
I'm not
tough.
sure.
That one's really tough.
When it comes to like
You're
market
all good.
caps for like I know that NVIDIA is the largest, Microsoft second. Like that's about it
Well, and
for what I know what the actual
NVIDIA,
market caps are.
broke a record
Today, yeah,
just
four
today.
trillion, four.
First company ever that reached 4 trillion in market cap.
I'm gonna say B is the lie because AWS, I can imagine, accounts for a majority of the operating profit just based on its size, its margins, versus what Amazon's other businesses are. So I'm gonna go with B as
Okay.
the lie.
Okay. Kyle, stage is yours.
I also believe that C could theoretically be correct. They do mint money there, but I'm gonna go with B just to cover the spread. Between Tyler and I, it's got to be one of us makes it correct. We can't pull a
So
wait. So
you
I said B. So
he said
you're
B.
going.
Oh, sorry, C. I'm
Yeah,
gonna go
you're
with
going.
C.
Okay, so
Yeah.
B.
So yeah, just to cover the bases
Okay.
here. We can't have it pull a Keith here where we're all
So
wrong.
by default,
So then
by default, David's going with A.
David A, or
Well,
what are you
I
choosing?
do kind of want to go with A because I think that this is one where it could have been like 25 or 15 or 18. So these are tough. These are all tough. I don't want to go with B. I think B is kind of a stretch, and AWS is kind of the goose that laid the golden egg. So I'm gonna go A.
Oh, we have like
I
everything
like
today.
it all or nothing.
Anyways, Tyler is correct.
Well, because it's
That's
com
ridiculous.
combined market cap.
So it's combined market cap of Meta and Netflix is still below Amazon's market cap. It's not
That's
by a whole
crazy.
lot, but it's still a little bit below.
So is Amazon the fourth largest? Fourth largest company? Because it's NVIDIA, Microsoft, Apple, I believe, is
And
third.
then I think,
Has to
must be
be.
Amazon,
Has to be.
four or five, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was a good one.
Or Google.
With Prime
Half of it.
Day, I don't know if anybody saw a 4-day event, right? We're in day two. Day one, year on year, down 41%.
Sheesh.
We get to that.
It's crazy.
But that's interesting. I mean, we are
Diamond
not even
hands.
halfway through, but interesting so far where we are standing. Anyways, before we jump into that, I just want to cover something else real quick. And I want to hear from you if it's actually good news or not so much when we look a little bit deeper into it. So with last week, all major asset classes are now in the green, with the small caps lagging all the others, and they joined the party last week with rising 3.6% for the week. So every major asset class is now in the green. And I wanted to know from you a little bit if that is the rebound that we were finally waiting for in small caps. They were underperforming pretty much everything else for quite a while now, and a lot of people were calling for, oh, small caps at some point have to come back. So are we there yet or not so much? Tyler, let's start with you. What do you think?
I mean, I don't think so. I just think small caps have quite a bit of a headwind with tariffs and where their debt levels are at. And I just don't, I think structurally small caps are very different today than they were 10, 15 years ago. I don't think you're going to see, I mean, yes, there's going to be the diamond in the rough, but I don't think you're going to see a lot of those small caps become the mega caps anymore. I just don't think the way markets are set up, private equity, I mean, just the way the small companies are structured, I just don't see it being this great investment thesis.
Yeah, let's dive a little bit into more into the role of private equity, and that might be a little bit responsible for the quality deterioration within small caps. What does it mean, actually?
How does that?
Yeah, to explain that a little bit, what private equity has to do with it.
Well, private equity has become so popular as a form of investment. And so there's so much money in private equity that they can just go along and find these, what would have been unicorns, right? So
what would have, they would have IPO'd.
They would have IPO'd. And so like you think of, especially like right now with AI, like all of these private equity firms are gobbling up anything related to AI, which doesn't allow them to come to the public markets. I mean, maybe at some point down the road, once they already get to a $30, $40, $50 billion market cap,
and then they're probably that's
when the private equity might try to offload it to the public, which is just skipping the small cap stage.
Kyle, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with all of that. I feel like the kind of that classic FAMA French, you know, risk premium model where small caps have a outsized risk premium, right? Because of the nature of those businesses is
and outperforming large
outperforming over long, yeah term, right over yeah. long term mm-hmm. it doesn't mean just because it hasn't been working in the last few years, I don't know, 10 years 15 years I guess it hasn't worked. You know, the same could be said for value. You know, quality minus junk in that model. So, you know, you think about that and it's like, okay, well, structurally a lot has changed in the last 20 years, or like private equity and skipping a step. So that's one component. The zero interest rate policy that we had for the better part of 20 years, almost, I mean, 15 years, which prompted a lot of zombie companies, right? Like you're just kind of floating along. They didn't need to be profitable. Rates start rising and now you haven't really seen any kind of the piper being paid yet, if you will, in these companies consolidating. But, you know, I think ETFs definitely have a play in it with just passive ownership and the, you know, there's not really an incentive for those small kind of unicorns to come out where they enter the market at a, you know, $500 million market cap or, you know, $1 billion market cap, and then they work their way up into something massive. It does happen. You know, a good example would be like Builders FirstSource. You know, 5 years ago they were $1 billion market cap, and then 2 years ago they were $22 billion market cap. So you do see it, but it's less and less. So I don't know. I don't know if it's like endemic of a less healthy market. The other thing that runs through my mind is if you look at like the number of public companies in the United States in 2000, kind of give or take, it was like 8,000 companies were publicly investable. Today, that number is half that.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've seen a dramatic amount of consolidation. you've seen record levels of cash on hand for the big companies. And I don't know if that's a function of policy, regulation, just the dynamic of business efficiency, technology, private equity, passive versus active. Like there's a lot.
Zero interest rate environment.
Zero. Yeah. Right. Totally. So
15 years.
I don't know what the solution is, but I don't think that FAMA French, you know, mm-hmm. Nobel Prize winning model, that framework is mm-hmm. broken. You know, it's like the market's set up to, you know, I forget who says that. I think it was Munger or Buffett saying the market is, you know, designed to screw the most number of people as possible. So just when you leave these for dead, you know, you could see a major tear like you did in with value versus growth in 2022, like mm-hmm. growth dramatically, you know, it was years of outperformance and then people just mm-hmm. got, you know, crushed. Yeah. Right. So I don't know. It there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
David, what do you think about it? Because when we kind of look at and we mentioned it before, like the number of small caps that are not profitable is 42% within the Russell 2000 compared to 6% within the S&P 500. And now we have some a larger percentage of small caps are floating rate notes, floating rate debt, which is now with higher interest rates, kind of not as favorable. We have some debt coming up that needs to be refinanced. Do you think we see a shift in that, or is that not a quick fix to it, basically?
I don't know if it's a quick fix. And Kyle, I think you mentioned it briefly with kind of the ETF passive flows. I wonder if pensions and 401ks are kind of just naturally keeping these things alive and kind of accelerating these, you know, or just kind of keeping the winds going. One thing too is the big winners in the Russell 2000, they're a little too large to be included in the Russell 2000. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of gotten a little excessive there, where these companies are a little too big to be kept in, and they're a little sticky within that. They're sticky within the index. You know what I mean? They're pretty slow to leave. And like you said, the percentage of companies with real quality debt and real quality metrics is getting smaller and smaller. And so I think in I don't know if one of you touched on it already, but the quality screeners that come in these ETFs are giving you quality screens. You can look at whether it's ROIC or cash flow or quality of debt. And I think that's going to be a really good way for people to start investing in these. Mm-hmm. And those are going to be less common in your 401ks. They're going to be less common in your larger pension plans, like I already mentioned. But if you're an investor looking for small cap allocation, I think the best place is going to be a pseudo active management ETF rather than just the broad index.
Mm-hmm. And you touched on that, like, how can investors approach that? Basically, maybe passive is not the right thing, like buying
purely, you know, passive,
passive mm-hmm. S&P and whatnot, then you probably get quality names and you probably will not do bad over the long term. But here you might want to be a little bit more active to kind of sift out those unprofitable.
Well, I mean, the problem lies with profitability, mm-hmm. right? I mean, and then you combine that with the upcoming, what I'd call the maturity wall. Mm-hmm. Because if regardless if we stay at high interest rates or low interest rates, if you only have so much time to run at no profitability, regardless mm-hmm. if we're at 3% interest rates or 4.5%.
Yeah.
And these companies aren't even at 4.5%, right? They're usually going to be like a SOFR plus X percent.
Sure.
So even if interest rates come down, they're still probably going to be refining at 6-7% instead of 11 mm-hmm. for the really bad companies, right? So I think it just goes back to the profitability and screening those companies out more than anything, which can be a challenge, mm-hmm. especially in the small cap mm-hmm. space.
Well, I mean, going back to the debt component, I think you're right. I do wonder that comment of the Russell 2000 having 42% of those companies having negative earnings, what it is on the margin, right? Because if you have 30% of the Russell 2000 debt by maturity as floating, And even if it is SOFR plus whatever, if that floating rate, you knock off a couple hundred basis points, and that, you know, what is the marginal shift from
how big does
profitability,
it swing?
Right? Yeah. Like that could be a powerful.
That's true.
That could be a you know, the kinetic move in small caps that haven't worked, that are ugly, left behind. I mean, that's like a true contrarian investment now.
Yep.
You know, that's something where just a marginal improvement could create these animal spirits that really surprise people.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I get the floating part. That's totally, you're totally right on that. But the fixed.
Yeah, the fixed is a different thing.
Because that's all of these companies have probably, they probably refied in 2021.
Right.
And so they're sitting at basis points of interest.
Yeah, rolling on that's going to be a different.
So that big roll for 2026, if we're still, whether it's 4.5 or 4.25 or 3.5 or 3, like that's a big difference. That, I mean, that's incrementally the wrong win. I know what you're going to say because we just got news out today. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Did you want to give the news?
Yeah. So we got President Trump, obviously not a big fan of Jerome Powell. And so he very much disagrees with the interest rate policy our Federal Reserve has right now. Jerome Powell can't control interest rates by himself anyways. Mm-hmm. So attacking the Fed chair is, you know, obviously he has sway, but it's a committee vote. But President Trump believes we are 300 basis points or 3% too high in interest rates, which means the Fed funds rate would come down to 1.25% if we had a 300 basis point cut. So,
by the way, that never happened in history.
Right.
What was 08?
We're doing a lot of firsts, though.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
but what was 08? 08, 09 had to have been close to that.
I don't know.
Because we went to zero. Like
we did. But it was step changes. We went fast, but it wasn't 300.
It was 300. Okay. Maybe it was like 150.
Right.
Maybe that was the big drop.
Right.
Something like that. So anyways, that was the big news. But I saw you laugh. I knew exactly what you're thinking.
Anyways, so you might want to, I think the bottom line is you might want to, you might know what you earn with small caps. You cannot buy an index, which is probably not as.
Well, and to add to that, I would say the thing that we always beat the drum on is diversification, right? Don't put all the eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
Exactly. And now let's move on. And Kyle also already
sorry
spoiled
for
it a little bit.
So
no, no worries. To our main topic today, namely, like, if we have Christmas in July, I mean, we have a big week. We're already in the midst of it. Amazon Prime Day, which is not only Amazon by now. It's Target, it's Best Buy, it's Walmart. And I think the two largest ones, the largest competitors is Walmart versus Amazon. Largest share is still holding Amazon by far, but still it's like Walmart is catching up, and for a brick and mortar business, it's doing pretty well with e-commerce and all of that, and they are after the share this year. Amazon extended it to 4 days instead of 2 Amazon Prime days. Walmart extended it another 2 days to 6 days. So what are we thinking of that? I mean, Kyle also already mentioned it does not look good at the moment. Sales are down from last year Prime days. But I wanted to know, Kyle, do you think it is more of, okay, we have 4 days instead of 2, right? We are not even halfway through now. Do you think it's maybe a little slower start because we have an extended period this year, or we have even more retailers joining the party? So do you think more people are just trying to take it slow and kind of take their time to compare prices before they actually pull the trigger? What do you think is behind that?
Yeah, I guess my first thought was actually, I think you made a couple of points that I think are very valid. My brain initially goes to kind of the memes that you find around Christmas time, or I guess it's right after Thanksgiving. We've got Black Friday, right? Mm-hmm. And all the deals, and then Cyber Monday, right? Mm-hmm. What in the last few years we have been seeing, and I'm sure everybody in this room and people that are listening would agree with that they've seen, is they'll put out these deals, and the deals are not deals. It's just it's just marketing smoke and mirrors. They mark them up, and then it's marked down to more expensive than it was prior to the day. So, one tool that's been around forever, and I'm sure there are a gazillion of them now, but for Amazon, there's a site called Camel, and you can actually go Google it.
Oh, it tracks the prices.
And it tracks the prices over time. And you can actually, you just type in the SKU or whatever you're looking for, and then it'll show you the seasonality of the price. And it's like, oh, interesting. They mark up the price. So it's just a web crawler that goes and discovers these. So I haven't been there in a while, but I used to take a look for bigger purchases. You'd say, oh, okay, like this is a bad time. They've actually marked it up. So I do wonder if people are becoming wise to the marketing, the kind of snake oil that's being sold here. The other, I think, that you mentioned is the sense of urgency of going from one day to two to four. It kind of loses its urgency. And then you add the other retailers in with it, and it's kind of like, okay, it's almost like years ago when Best Buy was on their back and almost bankrupt because Amazon was eating their lunch and everybody would go into a Best Buy and they'd grab their phone and they'd be like, oh, what's this computer cost? And then they'd look at Amazon right there, and then they would order from Amazon and not Best Buy. And then it took years for them to like unwind that. And now price discovery is like fully transparent almost everywhere, and prices have gone up to match and gone down, and it's kind of normalized. It's almost like this is almost the same kind of dynamic, just in a different way, right? Like everyone's matching, and then that kind of evaporates the value for all the consumers.
Well, PayPal has a extension on Chrome called Honey. I don't know if you've
I've never heard of it.
That's so what I've used.
It tracks prices, and then if you go to buy something, it'll list a bunch of different retailers of what the price is there.
So all together in one spot.
Literally, you could be buying something on Amazon and Honey will pop up with, well, it's $5 cheaper at Target today. So then you can go to Target and buy it.
Interesting.
And it's just an extension on Chrome.
Okay.
So it just pops up automatically for you.
Interesting.
But yeah, I would generally agree, right? I mean, especially once all these other retailers started getting into it and doing Target days or Walmart days or whatever they call it, like there's just, if you normally go to Walmart instead of Amazon, and all of a sudden Walmart has deals versus Amazon, like you're probably just going to keep going to Walmart.
Right.
So it's just eating away at how many people are actually traveling to Amazon's site that normally probably wouldn't.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
That was also a good point that you just brought up, because Walmart has like over 4,000 stores across the U.S. that it can utilize. And it's also being available in store for Walmart, not only for Walmart Plus members, for all. So do you think that is a benefit to Walmart, that it actually has brick and mortar places that people can go to rather than Amazon, which is just online? Do you think that is a plus here?
I don't think so. Because unless you get like the magazines that have the deals on it, like you always get the Black Friday deals ahead of what they actually are so that you can go into the store. But I feel like if you're going to be looking for deals, it's a lot easier just to look online than actually go into the store. Maybe you do find something on Walmart website that is in stock, so instead of waiting for shipping, you just go pick it up. Maybe that could be the impetus for shopping at Walmart instead of Amazon, because instead of, you know, the next day delivery, it's I get it right now type of thing. Because we all know how impatient we've become since Amazon's one
overnight shipping only.
So I don't know that brick and mortar really matters in these types of events.
But I mean, in addition to that, it has built out its e-commerce quite a bit. I mean, they invested massively into that and now are after Amazon. So David, Amazon is still the leader there when it comes to the total e-commerce share in the US. It takes 40%. Walmart comes in second with 6%. So that's a distant second place.
Very distant.
But they are on their heels, and Walmart is more after share than anything else. So they try to undercut, obviously. So what does it do to margins when everyone is trying to just go lower? Or what do you think is?
Well, in just point of clarification, because I know Walmart, I think, is, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's the number one largest grocer.
Yes, in the US, right. I mean, like all e-commerce, like.
And it's the largest employer in the US too.
Yeah.
Right. Right. So when you're looking at e-commerce shares, that excludes grocery.
It excludes groceries. Okay. Yes. Right. Yeah.
Can you undercut Amazon is that even something that's worth attempting? Like, we already talked how profitable AWS is.
Groceries. Not talking about EWS, just talking about the retail side.
I know exactly. But AWS is able to prop up their e-commerce for a little bit longer. Yep, as a loss leader. That's exactly right. So but as soon as they start to feel pressure, is it a fool's errand to come after Amazon?
But also given, like, I've heard something interesting. Amazon has a lot of third-party vendors that are maybe a little bit more stretched than Amazon itself with its only house, its own house brands when it comes to tariffs and inventory and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And they might want to not undercut as much. And some of these third-party vendors are beginning to favor other retailers like Walmart, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So that could hurt maybe Amazon there, where we do not expect it that much.
Does anybody plan for the Walmart deal days? Anybody here?
But I mean, does anybody plan for Prime Day?
I was going to say,
does I used to. I feel like I did. Now it's...
You're desensitized.
I know what's going on. Yeah. And yesterday I was shopping for a new pair of glasses and I went on Amazon and I said, oh, it's Prime Day. I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
And
I ordered them anyway. I mean, maybe nobody in this room, but I think just in general, why you're seeing such a significant drop in participation is just consumers truly are feeling stretched, right? And
sure,
I think there's a lot of, we see the economic soft data. I can't remember who had the chart, but the chart shows economic soft data. The soft data that has been released of like surveys, it's like some of the worst we've seen in a long time. So consumers, maybe they're
at the same time that hard employed, data is pretty darn good.
You're fully employed. I mean, the participation rate last month for June dropped, so that's why unemployment stayed at 4.1. And there's a lot of government ads than private sector. But I just think there's so much uncertainty from the consumer side. Sentiment is very, very weak. People aren't sure if they're going to keep their jobs, lose their jobs. They don't know what interest rates are going to be. They don't. But there's just so much uncertainty for the consumer right now that, Given that backdrop, it makes sense why Prime Days is down so badly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that was, I think, a reason in the first place, a strategic move, why they expanded it to 4 days and Walmart to six to respond to that.
Yep.
In order to capture at least some of the spending now, because they're maybe expecting that it's lower in the back half of the year.
But if you were uncertain of your job over the next 6 months, right? Maybe you still make a lot of money, but you don't know if that job is going to be there in 6 months. Are you going to go spend $400 on Prime Day?
I would only maybe spend, and I think that's what they bet on, is that consumers are trying to front run tariff related price increases. That hasn't happened yet that much. It hasn't related into inflation yet that much, which is unexpected, I would say, for a lot of people. But I think the general consensus is that that will happen over the next couple of months, and consumers know that. And I think they bet on that. Hey, they try to front run price increases to buy maybe stuff they need anyways, but just trying to get it cheaper now, no matter how they feel. I mean,
I just think the job uncertainty, the wage uncertainty, the economic uncertainty has people frozen from doing anything.
Interesting. So by now we're 41% down from last year. I mean, we still have time until Friday, but we will see how that unfolds. Yeah, I mean, until then
Prime Day used to be a big deal.
But
like you used to hear about it all the time, and now I feel like no one
used to get ads for it.
But now you have Cyber Monday, you have Black Friday, you have something coming up every other month. So if you really need something, it's like, well, it's coming up anyways. So it's probably just not, because it's not so exclusive anymore, I would say. And even more retailers are joining to that point. Who do you think, David, who do you think has more consumer loyalty in the end, Walmart or Amazon? Because both has a very loyal base.
I think if you're talking e-commerce, it's people are going to go to Amazon first. I think if you go to Walmart, and the numbers show it, like just the pure market share shows it. But I don't think Walmart is your first click when you're talking about e-commerce. It's going to be Amazon, and I don't see it changing anytime soon. I think people, Walmart can benefit from the in-store growth, but I don't know if people are going to be switching from Amazon to Walmart. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah.
I actually disagree a little bit with that.
You think it's going to move the needle?
Mm-hmm.
To Walmart or someone else?
To Walmart. Or, I mean, anybody else. But I think...
When you say a move, like what?
Because the whole thing that it used to be was Amazon had next day delivery or same day delivery. But Walmart has been able to set up their brick and mortar stores as their warehouse hubs as well for shipments.
Sure.
So Walmart...
Are you talking for grocery like anything outside of grocery?
Anything. Yes. I mean, you can now get same day delivery from Walmart too.
Yeah.
And Walmart has a better rural presence as well.
Mm-hmm.
And versus Amazon
still, Amazon still struggles going into rural areas. So I would say Walmart is probably taking share out of Amazon on the e-commerce side for like your first click.
I could see that happen.
If you know that Amazon's going to be 1 day or 2 days, but Walmart's going to be 1 day.
Yeah.
Or maybe even same day.
Yep.
Depending on your location.
I would say for groceries, yes. But I think for your average, right, you need something random. T-shirt, protein powder, whatever it is. I don't think your average consumer is going to jump to Walmart. You know what I mean? I think people pay for Amazon. Amazon's top of mind. And I think they're going to kind of continue in that vein. Groceries are a little bit different.
I don't think if you were to survey people and just a random group of 100 people and say, do you pay for Amazon? Even though most people do. You know, you pay your annual.
You forget about it.
I don't think that's actually in people's mind share of what they're paying a subscription for.
Yeah, they forget.
Right. Netflix is like, oh yeah, I've got that.
And Walmart Plus they keep would be something.
That would be something. New. Yeah, right.
They would know.
Right. So on the, I totally get your point, and I don't have a leaning one way or the other. The rural part, I totally makes sense to me. The brick and mortar thing does kind of throw me a little bit though, because I'm like, you know, you've got all the Whole Foods and then all the, like, you know, the lockers or whatever. It's not the same. Granted, it's not the same infrastructure that like a Walmart or, which I feel like that parallels in my mind what Best Buy did. They were like breaking the ice on that, and Walmart did a fast follow and executed really well on that to use all those distribution hubs as the buildings themselves, you know, the stores. Target, likewise, same thing. The thought that goes in my mind is, I guess I'm thinking about Google and all the, you know, the DOJ, all the monopoly kind of antitrust stuff that's going on there, and the seeming shift to, or the concern around not using their search anymore. And it's driven to, just ask ChatGPT or Grok or.
So it goes fast.
Whoever, right.
You might want to say,
so yeah, that disruption, you would if you were asking, you know, 5 years ago, who disrupts Google, you'd say never going to happen. Yeah. But now there's like an open question. So what goes in my mind, and long-winded way of getting here, is Amazon is indestructible, you know, according to David over here. And the question, I guess, is what is the known unknown? Like, what is that?
Yeah.
What is that incremental, disruptor? What could knock Amazon down? I don't think it's a Walmart. Because they're no, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, is there something waiting in the wings that we're not aware of?
To your point about the rural aspect of it, I have friends and family in Montana, and Amazon takes like a week and a half to deliver. Mm-hmm. And we can get stuff overnight here in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. But then again, when's the last time you guys ordered from Amazon?
Today,
when's the last time you ordered from Walmart? Did you even, when you shopped on Amazon, did you even think to go shop at Walmart.
But we might want to be also like, the wrong group of people here, because no one of us is participating in Amazon Prime Day.
Yes.
Well, Kyle did if he ordered today.
Yeah, it was random though. It wasn't intentional. We won at lawn bowling. You know what I mean? So we got a little. I had a little money burning a hole in my pocket for winning that. So I put that to use today, not realizing it was Prime Day until I was there, and I'm like, oh, it's Prime Day. Right. So that being said, I did not think about Walmart once,
and neither did I. I ordered twice from Amazon. But then too, so you said rural areas might start ordering from Walmart because, you know, they're going to get there quicker. There are two things that'll probably move the needle on that. And that's speed of shipping. And then also just the price of goods.
Well, and probably the type of good too, though, because like, for instance, you know, what I ordered today was a specific hat that you can't get at Walmart. Mm-hmm. You can't get it at Target.
Well,
Amazon is like, and then I ordered two game pieces for like a board game that my kid and I play together, and they're like these, you know, custom things that you can't get anywhere else, and they're not expensive, but you can't get them at Walmart, you can't get them at Target. So I'm like, oh, you know, Amazon has them right from the producer.
So you're saying so that's maybe what moves the needle for a Walmart that nobody's expecting.
Well,
is for Walmart to expand to those third parties that,
and they are doing.
Amazon's the world's
but
biggest.
But maybe a Honey. What was the Chrome extension? Honey.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had that, which I probably will download that. If I had that and I'm looking for it and it's in the basket and it says, hey, you know, that's an assumption I'm making, is that they don't have it. It is highly likely that they do, and I just didn't look.
Yeah.
You know, it's possible too.
Honey's great if you want all your data stolen. Yeah. But one thing, like Amazon, I think they're different in kind too. Amazon is like the world's biggest flea market, right? I can go sell stuff on Amazon. I'm not going to go get shelf space at Walmart. So like you're saying, there needs to be kind of a, right?
Walmart works with third parties just that only do online, just like you would with Amazon.
Well, and are you saying,
I didn't even know that.
Are you saying eBay is coming back then? Well, that's what you're advertising.
No, but Amazon's got the products. They've got the speed of shipping, unless you live in Podunk, Montana. And then they've got, you know, everybody's got the price, right? Because it's not Amazon selling the goods most of the time. Right. If I want a Waggle hat, or if I want, you know, an up top hat, which is the Montana equivalent of Waggle or whatever you want to call it, I can go to Amazon and get that. I can't go to Walmart and get that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, but I mean, for me living in Corcoran, I don't know about you, but for.
Does it make a difference?
Yeah, it does. I can't get same day delivery or even.
I can't either.
Some products I can get next day.
So you're considering rural two days.
So like, I've never expected same day.
And. I don't really like that far out there. Right.
But yeah, same. And I've never once thought, I really need this today. I need it now.
Do you guys get groceries on Walmart? I don't want somebody else picking out.
I get the all my food groceries delivered. Yeah.
Even produce?
Well,
no, that's shifting.
See, I wouldn't get produce.
I get Costco delivered, Target, you grocery just
Instacart
delivered.
Everything.
I'd feel better about Costco. Mm-hmm. Because it's less like picking the bruised apple.
All right. On that note, speaking of bruised apples, we should probably move it along here.
Okay. I think that was a long winded discussion about Amazon and Walmart and Prime Days and how it will affect the companies and also
Tyler's
stock.
Calling for Amazon to be in the Russell 2000. We're bringing it full circle here.
Oh.
We're bringing it full circle. Okay. Wow.
Big short call.
That I'm not calling for.
Anywho, so we will probably get back to that on a short note next week and kind of see where we ended the Prime Days and what influences that had on both of the stocks and on our outlooks. Until then, take care, and we see each other next Wednesday.